आप जानन्ति मा मूढ़ा मनुषीं त्वन्महासुतो हरं भावम जानन्तौ मम भूतमहेश्वरम्। In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna warns that foolish people, they deride the Lord when he descends in an apparently human form, not knowing that he is the supreme Lord of creation and has supreme dominion over all that be. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharat abhyuta nama dharmasya tadatmanam srijamyaham. The absolute truth descends into this world whenever there is a decline in religion for the purpose of establishing true religious principles and ultimately to attract the hearts of the fallen conditioned souls. Could everyone hear nicely? Yes? The word avatar really means when the absolute manifests within relative existence. The coming down of divinity into this mortal world. The Lord descends into this world in his original transcendental form. Therefore, the great avatars of Lord Vishnu, their body, their pastimes, their qualities, their names, everything is of the supreme spiritual nature. Never like the bewildered, deluded souls, the jivatmas, who take birth in this world as a consequence of their previous karmic activities. The laws of karma are most stringent. As ye sow, so shall ye reap. For every action, there is an equal corresponding reaction. The laws of nature never forget, never neglect, and never ever make a single mistake. Because the laws are natures of the laws of God within this mundane domain. Therefore, they are perfect. So yes, we are responsible for everything we do and everything we speak. And there will be a reaction. The 8,400,000 species of life are simply different facilities created by material nature for the purpose of giving us the chance to enjoy and or suffer our previous actions. But Krishna tells in Gita, Mayadhyakshena prakriti suyate sacharachanam hetunani, that he is the supreme lord and master, the controller of material nature. It is working under his direction. Therefore, when the Lord descends into this mundane world, he is never in any way under the influence of the deluding potency. Ishvara Paramakrishna Satchidananda Vigraha. He appears in his original transcendental form even amongst his various avatars, from Vaikuntha. The only law that governs the avatar of Vishnu is his own divine will. The Jivatma, we have the will, we have the freedom to act according to our desires, but we have absolutely no freedom what the reaction will be. Therefore, the jivas within this conditioned world are called bound, entangled in snares in the network of Maya. There is that very nice illustration in Bhagavad Gita as it is, where Maya Devi is taking the form of the three folds of three gunas, or the three qualities of goodness, passion, and ignorance. And through these three modes of nature, all the living entities within the entire creation are like puppets. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha ahankarabi vimudatma karataham iti manyate. The bewildered soul thinks themselves to be the doers of activities. But actually, we are being impelled like puppets on the strings of the three modes of material nature. But the avatar appears miraculously in his eternal divine spiritual form. His body, which is eternal, full of knowledge and bliss, is manifested before the vision of the conditioned souls. There is only one cause for the Lord to descend into this world, and that is his infinite kindness to the fallen souls who are suffering due to forgetfulness of him. Within this creation, there are four yugas: Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dwapara Yuga, and Kali Yuga. The rotation, or all of these four yugas in the cycle of one, is called a Divya Yuga. Divya Yuga means one cycle of these four yugas. 1,000 Divya Yugas equals one Kalpa, which is a day of Brahma. There are 14 manvantaras in a kalpa. And after the kalpa is complete, there is the nighttime of Brahma. What takes place then is pralaya, a partial devastation of the universal creation where Brahma sleeps. See, if you have responsibility, you never know what's going to happen when you go to sleep. Could be pralaya. In one sense, it's very symbolic that we should always be very awake and attentive. If we are, Prabhupada said in Krishna consciousness that it is like a razor's edge. A moment of inattentiveness, and there could be pralaya. There could be an inundation of Maya upon us. Therefore, Rupa Goswami says, whatever activities we're performing should be done very carefully in proper consciousness. Whether we're chanting, whether we're sitting in Bhagavatam class, whether we're performing kirtan, whether we're speaking with devotees, or interacting with another person, or even when we're performing our service, or even apparently ordinary activities. We should be conscious. We should be attentive. And what is that attentive? to do it in such a way that Krishna will be pleased with us. That is the perfection of life. What is life? A series of moments where we have choice. The choice to please Krishna or the choice to forget Krishna. The supreme instruction of all instructions in all the literatures is to always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. To remember Krishna in a favorable attitude to please Him is the path of perfection. To forget Krishna is the path of entanglement, path of ignorance. So Brahma, after 1,000 kalpas, which is 4,320,000,000 years, he goes to sleep for the same amount of time. And then he wakes up. And when he wakes up, there's partial devastation. He actually has to start doing creation again every day. And he's always praying to the Lord. Always praying to the Lord Sri Krishna for help, because he knows he's helpless without Krishna. So, there are 30 kalpas in a month of Brahma, 12 months in a year of Brahma, and Brahma lives 100 years, which is approximately 311 trillion of our years. And at the end of his life, there is dissolution. And then Brahma attains the highest perfection. Krishna descends within this world once in a day of Brahma, in his original transcendental form. The Lord appears in the Sweta Varaha Kalpa of the reign of Vaivashvata Manu, during the 28th Divya Yuga, as the son of Yashoda. In this incarnation, the Lord in His original form so mercifully reveals the highest mercy. Informally, Krishna reciprocates with no reservation whatsoever with his most intimate beloved devotees. We should know that all the various avatars are the one Supreme Lord. There is no difference in personality. Sometimes we hear different avatars are plenary portions or parts of plenary portions. That doesn't mean that God is divided up. Shaktivesha avatars are sometimes the infinitesimal living entities who are part and parcel of the Lord, who are specifically empowered to perform a particular function by the Lord. But the Leela avatars, Purusha avatars, they are Krishna Himself. The difference between these avatars is the one supreme person who is simply manifesting different degrees and variations of his supreme opulences. And in the various avatars, they destroy ignorance from the conditioned souls. And for those who receive their mercy, they awaken within their hearts love of God with awe and reverence. Krishna is the source of all avatars. Krishna is tu Bhagavan Swayam. All avatars in their origin are emanating ultimately from Krishna, in the sense that he is Purnavatar. He is completely full in all opulences. Krishna, being the very summit, the culmination of all the incarnations of the Lord, bestows the highest mercy. Why? Because only Krishna bestows the love of the intimacy and confidentiality of Sakya Ras, Vatsalya Ras, and Madhurya Ras. In the incarnations of Narasingha Dev and Ramchandra, these rasas are there to a small measurement. But the full-fledged manifestation of these higher rasas or higher spiritual relationships are only to be found in Goloka or Sri Vrindavan Dham. And the perfection of these rasas in its most intensified and condensed degree are reciprocated by the Lord with the gopis of Vrindavan. And Srimati Radharani is the supreme most ecstatic lover of Krishna. She is the Vadini Shakti of the Lord. So therefore, the mercy of Godhead reaches its climax when Krishna descends into this world. And who is Lord Chaitanya? Once in a day of Brahma, after the Dwapara Yuga of Krishna's advent, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally appears. We know that he is Yugavatar. In truth, in every Kali Yuga, there is Yugavatar, who establishes by his example and by his words the Yuga Dharma. The Yuga Dharma in the age of Kali is Nam Sankirtan. Harinam, 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 Eva Kevalam Kalo, Nasteva, 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 Gatiranyata. To achieve supreme perfection in the age of Kali, it is emphasized, there is no other way, there is no other way, there is no other way except the chanting of the names of Lord Hari. How to chant the names of Hari without offense? And later on, to evolve to that state where we're chanting the holy names of Lord Hari in pure love. In the age of Kali, which is an ocean of faults, this is the one supreme benediction that anyone chanting Krishna's name can attain the supreme benediction of love of God. That is the work of the Yugavatar. But only once in over 4 billion years does Krishna descend to this world in the age of Kali, in his original transcendental form, for the purpose of tasting the sweetness of Srimati Radharani's love. Radha Krishna Pranaya Vikratir Hladini Shakti Rasmat Ekat Manavapi Bhuvibhava Dehabidam Katautau Chaitanyakyam Prakatam Adanat Tadvayam Chaikyam Aptam Radha Bhava Duti Subalitam Nomi Krishna Swarupam. The Absolute Truth is one, but that one Absolute Truth divides into two forms eternally to perform ecstatic loving pastimes of love. And that is Radha and Krishna. The supreme predominator is Krishna and the supreme predominated is Radharani. They are enjoying eternally the pastimes of ecstatic love in the spiritual world. And actually, all existence is simply meant to facilitate that love. That's all. That's the only truth. Radha's love for Krishna and Krishna's love for Srimati Radharani. There's no other truth. All other truths are emanating only from that. For those who do not want to participate in that loving exchange, there is the Maya Shakti. There's the Bahiranga Shakti, the Antaranga Shakti. There's the spiritual energy and the material energy. This material energy is simply to keep us from disturbing the Leela of Radha and Krishna. And to ultimately frustrate us in such a way that we want to, in a very favorable way, participate in the Leelas of Radha and Krishna. And beyond this material existence is the Brahmajyoti. And really, what is the purpose of the Brahmajyoti? It's a spiritual sky in which the planets of the Lord, who's enjoying with his consorts, is resting. That's all. One truth. Radha and Krishna's love. But those two become one. Krishna. Shri Radhaya Pranaya Vikrita. Shri Radhaya Mahima Kidriso Vanayaiva. That in order to taste the sweetness of Srimati Radharani's love, in order to understand the happiness she feels when she tastes his love, and in order to understand the nature of that love, Krishna comes to this world with the bhava, the love of Radharani in his heart, and also accepts her beautiful golden complexion. Srimati Radharani's complexion is described to be a beautiful molten golden color similar to that of the flower of the Kadamba tree. And because the Kadamba flower is so beautifully resplendent with Srimati Radharani's complexion, it is Krishna's favorite tree. And I'm pleased to inform you all that the smallest of our Kadamba trees, we have 5 Kadamba trees, three Bengali Kadamba trees and 3 Vrindavan Kadamba trees. We have 6 Kadamba trees. And Radha Gopinath's property. And in this place, Bombay, Kadamba flowers grow during the rainy season. Yes? They don't grow any other season. Now the smallest of our Kadamba trees, which gets the least a bit of sunlight, just a few days ago we saw dozens of fully blossomed Kadamba flowers decorating it. How many of you have seen it? It's beautiful. It's unseasonal. My sentiment I will share with you. When Lord Nityananda Prabhu went to Panihati, he was in the house of Raghava Pandit. And he sat on the deity's throne. And he said to Raghava Pandit, go to your garden and make me a garland of Kadamba flowers. And Raghava Pandit knows that unless it's the season, no Kadamba flower will ever blossom on a Kadamba tree. So he said, it's not the Kadamba flower season. Nityananda Prabhu smiled and said, just go in the garden and look and see. So he went in his garden. He had Kadamba trees there. But what did he see? He saw on a lime tree, not on the Kadamba trees, on a lime tree, it was completely filled up with beautiful, peerless, fragrant, splendid, fully blossomed Kadamba flowers. He was in ecstasy. He was crying. He was picking them and making garlands. Rivo. So tomorrow it is our hope that for Sri Gaur Purnima, if you come for the Shringar Darshan, you may see Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu decorated with a garland of Kadamba flowers picked from his own personal Kadamba tree. And my only explanation I can think that it's coming out of season. And none of the other five Kadamba trees even have a bud of a flower. And these are fully blossomed. Is there any botanist here that can explain this? Anyways, my humble explanation is Nityananda Prabhu wants a Kadamba flower garland for his Lord, Sri Gauranga, tomorrow. Hare Krishna. So Krishna appears with the complexion and the inner loving sentiments of Srimati Radharani. That is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. For when he appears, he does not appear alone. He descends with his associates as well as his supreme abode. Gaudadesh is geographically considered a particular segment of northern India. But the Gaudadesh of Navadvip Dham, we should understand, it is the supreme abode in the spiritual world. The highest planet in the spiritual sky is Goloka. And there is a section of Goloka called Svetadvip, where the most intimate leelas of love are taking place eternally. It is that Svetadvip which descends into this world as Navadvip Dham. The great acharyas and the holy scriptures tell us that the Navadvip of this world is non-different. In fact, it is identical to Vrindavan. With one addition, magnanimity. Vrindavan is a very restricted, confidential circle. When Krishna descends in this world to enter into his loving leelas, one has to be perfected. But in Navadvip Dham, the circle expands to include everyone and anyone without discrimination who's simply willing to accept mercy. That is Navadvip Dham. There are 9 islands which are divided by the Ganga or Bhagirathi and the Jalangi rivers. On the eastern side of Bhagirathi is Antardvip, Simantadvip, Godramdvip, and Madhyadvip. And on the western side of Ganga is Koladvip, Ritudvip, Janudvip, Modadrumadvip, and Rudradvip. In the center of the 9 islands, which appear like a lotus flower with 8 petals floating in the river Ganges, in the very center is Antardvip. In the very center of Antardvip is Mayapur. And the very heart of the center of Mayapur is Yogapeet, which is the birthplace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the house of Jagannath Mishra. Vrindavan Das Thakur explains the opulences of Navadvip. There's a beautiful pastime where Lord Chaitanya, he heard rumors that Advaitacharya was preaching Mayavad philosophy according to the Yoga Vashishta of the followers of Shankaracharya. It was unbelievable to him. Advaitacharya was the best of the bhaktas. Advaitacharya, it was through his loving devotion that called Lord Chaitanya to descend to the world. So he took Nityananda Prabhu, and first they were on their way to Shantipur when they took a walk through Navadvip Dham. And it describes therein the beauty of Navadvip, the opulence of Navadvip. Lord Brahma, the creator of the universe, knowing that his supreme lord, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, was going to appear in that place, which is the spiritual world itself, actually decorated with incredible opulences. There were so many wonderful, wonderful bathing ghats. And at each bathing ghat, there was hundreds and thousands of people taking their baths, performing their rituals, chanting their mantras. There was so much wealth in Navadvip. And the greatest wealth was learning. This is one of the six opulences of Bhagavan, is knowledge. The people of Navadvip, they were all blessed by the goddess Saraswati. They had such command over the various academic literatures and scriptures that they were studying. And practically everyone had such keen intellect and powerful memories that they were all debating with one another. Even children were debating with great scholars. Because they just had to debate. They weren't playing cricket. They weren't playing football. They weren't watching star TVs. They were debating. That was the enjoyment. That was the entertainment. That was the sport of Navadvip. And they were engrossed. But at the same time, there was practically no spirituality in Navadvip. People became so arrogant, so proud of their high knowledge and their wealth, that they became utterly materialistic. Can you imagine? In the eternal abode of the Lord that descends from the spiritual world, people were like this. If you go to Navadvip Dham, you will find a place called Prodamaya. Prodamaya is the protector of the Dham. Without the grace of Prodamaya, you cannot actually enter into the reality of Navadvip. You are covered over. You only see the external, outer activities which are outside the surface of the real Navadvip. But if we have the faith, if we have the purity of the heart, if we chant the holy name with great feeling, then the Lord reveals the Dham to us through our heart, through our ears, and even to our eyes. But here we find these people were living there, sometimes for generations. But what were they doing? Their so-called religious activities were all-night vigils to Mangalachandi. Sometimes with tantric rites of drinking wine. And always for very, very gross material benedictions. Very popular in Navadvip at the time was the worship of the snake goddess for the purpose of overpowering their enemies. People would spend, they would save up years and years and years and spend massive amounts of lavish money simply for the marriages of their sons and daughters. The people of Navadvip, even the Bhattacharyas and Chakravartis, they were hypocrites. Although they would speak so eloquently on so many subjects, they never spoke anything about the Lord or devotion to the Lord. Even powerful, famous reciters of Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita never even touch the subject of devotion or bhakti. Everything was speculation. And the most pious of all the people, on certain occasions, when they happen to be bathing in the Ganges, they may say, Govinda, Pundarikaksha. That was the extent of their spiritual lives. It was pitiful. Queen Kunti, she prayed, Janmaishwari ashuti sribir edamana madapuma naivarhatyavadatum vai tvam akinshina gocharam. To have material opulences can be a great, great impediment. Because the tendency is we become proud. And what happens when we become proud? We become infatuated by our knowledge, by our wealth, by our beauty, by our high birth, by our strength. And then we cannot cry out the name of Krishna. In Navadvip, even the so-called renunciates and ascetics were so arrogant, puffed up, and hypocritical that no one had any faith in them. This was the condition. And Advaitacharya, he was a great devotee. And there was a small group of devotees that were in his circle. They felt so much pity, so much sympathy for the inhabitants of Navadvip. And not only that, but for the whole world in the age of Kali. They were loudly crying out the holy names to get to invite Krishna to save them. They could have gone to a secluded place and performed their own bhajan. Why? Why did they remain in this opulent, crowded city? Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that the Gaudiya Math prefers not to be in a secluded holy place, but to the cities. Hare Krishna. He left Mayapur Dham to go to Calcutta to make his base. Why? Because that's where so many unfortunate fallen souls were in forgetfulness of Krishna. This is the mood of compassion. Prabhupada, he left Vrindavan to go to New York City, London, Los Angeles, and all of these places around the world. That is the heart of a Vaishnava. A heart of real compassion for those who are forgetting Krishna. So listen carefully. These devotees, they were praying. They were performing tapasya. They were fasting. They were chanting for the benefit of these people, and the people hated them for it. The people of Navadvip, they criticized, ridiculed, and even persecuted the devotees who were only there for their benefit. When they saw that the devotees were renouncing sinful pleasures and the fashions of the time, they couldn't tolerate it. The devotees' example was a threat to them. So they would criticize the devotees in so many ways. Right to the devotee's face. You call yourself advanced. You don't know what advancement is. Advancement means wearing royal clothes and beautiful ornaments. Advancement in life means you don't have to walk. You ride on a decorated palanquin. And you have four people carrying your palanquin. And you have 14 men on foot on all sides of your palanquin ready to serve you in any way you please. That is advancement in life. To eat nicely
to sleep in beautiful homes. This is advancement. What are you people doing? Look at you. You're skinny. You have no good clothes. You have no wealth. You're useless. You're parasites to society. Do something practical. This is what they were saying to Srivas, Advaita, Haridas, and all these devotees. And others who were a little more philosophical, they would look at the devotees and would just blaspheme them. They would say, "Do you know who I am? I am the Supreme Brahman. I am the absolute truth. Why are you deluding people with this distinction that there is a master and a servant? No, we are all one. We are all God. Give up this mentality. Give up this deviation." Hare Krishna.
So the devotees, being insulted in this way, simply cried in pity and compassion for these ignorant souls. And these were the leaders. These were the so-called spiritual leaders of Navadvipa. We were explaining this morning the degradation of religion and how it inevitably takes place in this material world. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells, Imam Vivashvatam Yogam. Long ago, I instructed Vivashvan. He instructed Manu, who instructed Vikshvaku. In this way, amongst saintly kings, this disciplic succession has been passed down. However, in course of time, the essence of the truth has been corrupted. Therefore, I have come again to speak to you to reestablish it. It is true. We see. When a great personality comes, he establishes the truth. When an avatar comes, they come to establish the highest principles. But the nature of time is it destroys. When people are insincere, when people have ulterior motives, that enters into the realm of their religion. And degradation, degeneration takes place. And the worst thing is when that degeneration is exemplified by spiritual leaders. People either lose their faith in the spiritual path altogether and completely take shelter of materialistic sense enjoyment, or the blind lead the blind, and they both fall into the ditch of their own misconceptions. That is especially the phenomena of Kali Yuga. Advaitacharya, he felt such pity that he made a vow. He made a vow that he would bring Krishna to this world to deliver all of these envious, materialistic, arrogant people. Because he came to the conclusion that in this age of Kali, only Krishna in his most munificent, merciful avatars can possibly deliver them. So Advaita Prabhu, for the sake of you and me, he was already a perfectly liberated soul. He was already tasting the highest nectar of Krishna praying. Advaitacharya was beyond all material sufferings. He was a king of the Vaishnavas. But Paradukaduki, by his own sweet will, he felt extreme pain due to his love and compassion to us.
So for our sake, he was fasting. Sometimes we see people fast for their own liberation. Sometimes we see people perform tapasyas and vratas for their own elevation. Advaitacharya didn't need any of that. He was the combined incarnation of Mahadev Shiva and Mahavishnu Karanodakshayi. He was fasting. And he was offering fresh tulsi leaves and manjaris to his Shalagram Shila mixed with Ganges water. All day, every day. And he did this year after year after year. Loudly crying out for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to descend. His voice was so full of love and compassion that it penetrated all the layers of material existence. Penetrated through the entire Brahma Jyoti. Bypassed all the Vaikuntha planets and went right to Goloka. To be heard by Krishna. Before Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally descended, he manifested his abode of Navadvip from the spiritual world and he sent many of his associates who served him in the role of Vaishnavas as his elders. Many of them appeared in Navadvip Dham. Others he sent to appear in other areas. Should we end here and have kirtan or should I continue? Hari Bol could mean either one. Should I continue? This is Kadamba flower. It is described that the golden color of the inner portion of the Kadamba flower is the complexion of Srimati Radharani, the closest thing in this world. And you see these standing up? It is described in Chaitanya Charitamrita when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's body was astasatvika bhav, when these eight symptoms of transcendental ecstasies, his hairs would stand up like the filaments of the Kadamba flower. And sometimes even his skin would make bumps like the filaments of the Kadamba flower. Hari Hari. In Srihatta, Madhavendra Puri descended into this world. Madhavendra Puri is declared to be the first shoot of the tree of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's manifestation of love of God in this world. Madhavendra Puri was a sannyasi who was the first to manifest the love of the gopis, Shringaras, in the disciplic line of Sripad Madhvacharya. He traveled from place to place, preaching the glories of pure bhakti, always tasting the highest sweetness of spiritual love. And what disciples he had! Nityananda Prabhu, Paramananda Puri, Brahmananda Bharati, Jagannath Mishra, Advaitacharya, Pundarik Vidyanidhi, Sriranga Puri. These are just a few of the great disciples. Govinda, Kashishwar Pandit, Ishwara Puri. Anyone who was manifesting these loving sentiments of the residents of Vrindavan in this world were people who had received the mercy of Madhavendra Puri. A desire tree
of Goloka to fulfill the spiritual desires of the people of this world. From Western India, a very great devotee of Sri Narayan named Madhukar Mishra migrated and settled in Srihatta. He had a son of the name Upendra Mishra. Upendra Mishra had seven sons. The third of those seven sons was Jagannath Mishra. For the sake of study, Jagannath Mishra left Srihatta, which is now in Bangladesh, and moved himself to Navadvip, where he became such a great scholar that he was given the title Purandar Mishra. It was there that he met another resident of a place close to Srihatta who migrated to Navadvip. His name was Nilambar Chakravarti. Great, great Brahmin, learned scholar, astrologer. Nilambar Chakravarti offered the hand of his own daughter to the marriage of Jagannath Mishra. Jagannath Mishra is the avatar of Nanda Maharaj. Sachi Devi is the avatar of Yashoda Mai. They live together in great spiritual happiness, worshipping Lord Krishna at the Yoga Peet in Sri Navadvip. The combined avatar of Mahavishnu and Sadashiva appeared as Advaitacharya. Actually, Advaitacharya is an eternal associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the spiritual sky. These various other avatars simply merged into him and manifested their qualities through him. Advaitacharya appeared in Navagram. His name was Kamalaksha. When he was young, both his father and mother died. He moved to Shantipur to be close to the river Ganges. It was in Shantipur that he married the goddess of fortune in the form of Sita Thakurani. He lived in Shantipur, and there he established an academic institution. He was such a profoundly learned scholar. And everything he explained in terms of the ultimate perfection of life, loving devotional service to Krishna. He couldn't speak any other purpose, just loving devotional service to Krishna. But his qualities, his intentions, his culture were so great that he was considered the king of the Brahmin community and the leader of all the Vaishnavas. Advaitacharya also arranged a house in Navadvip. And it was from there that he chanted the holy names of the Lord constantly in prayer of Mahaprabhu's descent. In Srihatta, Murari Gupta appeared. Murari Gupta was older than Lord Chaitanya. He was from the Vaidya caste, a caste of physicians. He was a super excellent physician. In fact, many years later, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he proclaimed that anyone who considers Murari Gupta to be an ordinary householder, grihasta, who is a physician, will be doomed. Because Murari Gupta, he's the very embodiment, the reservoir of Krishna Prem. Anyone who he shows mercy to,
anyone who he gives medicine to will get Krishna praying. He is known as Murari Gupta because Murari, Krishna, is Gupta, hiding secretly in his heart. Murari Gupta shifted to Navadvip when he was very young. And also in the Srihatta area, the four brothers, Srivas, Sriram, Sripati and Srinidhi appeared in this world. Back to Murari Gupta, he was the avatar of Hanuman. He was also a good physician, making home deliveries of mountains of herbs. So, Srivas Thakur is Narada Muni. Sri Ram is Parvat Muni. They had descended. And to live, and they were all attracted to come and reside in Navadvip by the sweet will of the Lord. Seeing the lamentable condition of the materialistic people in the town, Srivas and his brothers were performing practically 24-hour kirtan with the exclusive intent of chanting with such love that they would attract Krishna to descend to deliver the fallen souls. In Chattagam, Pundarik Vidyanidhi appeared. He is the avatar of Maharaj Brishabhanu, the eternal father of Srimati Radhika. In this lila, Pundarik Vidyanidhi was very, very wealthy and appeared very pompous. He dressed luxuriously. He ate nice foods. He had beautiful house. But he was always immersed in the deepest, most profound ecstasies of love of God. Hare Krishna. He also built a house in Navadvip where he would go regularly to be near the Ganges. He was so humble, knowing that the river Ganges is the sacred water that has washed the feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He would never go in the Ganges. This was his sentiment. And he would never go to the Ganges in the daytime. Do you know why? Because it would break his heart. He would see people splashing each other there. He would see people spitting there. He would see people washing their hair there. He would see people washing their clothes in the Ganges, putting their feet in the Ganges. It was unbearable to him. He would only go to the Ganges, Gangamai, at night when no one was around. And then with great reverence he would bow down and just sprinkle water on his head and drink some of the water in ecstatic love. That was Pundarik Vidyanidhi. From Chattagram appeared two brothers, Vasudev Dutt and Mukunda Dutt. They also, when they were young, they migrated to live in Srinavadvip, a place called Mamgachi. And there, Vasudev Dutt and Mukunda Dutt were the very personifications of compassion. It was Vasudev Dutt who prayed from the core of his heart for one benediction, that all the sins of all living entities in the entire universe would go on his head. And he prayed to the Lord, let me suffer hellish conditions perpetually. And let everyone else go back home back to Godhead. Mahaprabhu, when he heard the prayer of Vasudev Dutt, he wept.
His limbs were shaking. His voice was faltering. He was so emotionally moved, he could not speak. Finally, with a faltering voice, he said, "This is no surprise. You are Prahlad Maharaj. Your compassion for the living entities has purchased my heart. I am your man. I am sold to you. I am your property. That is Vasudev Dutt." And Mukunda Dutt was the most popular singer of Nam Sankirtan. Constant associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Chaitanya gave Mukunda Dutt the benediction that anyone, that whenever you sing Nam Sankirtan, you will melt the hearts of all the Vaishnavas. And we will never be able to give up your association. Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Ki Jai. Vasudev Dutt and Mukunda Dutt are both eternal cowherd boy singers in Goloka Vrindavan. In Kumarahata, Ishvara Puripad appeared within this world. Ishvara Puri was the foremost disciple of Madhavendra Puri and later became the spiritual master of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Chaitanya, to show us how we should humble ourselves and worship the mercy of the spiritual master, he personally went to Kumarhata and collected the dirt from that place and wrapped it up very carefully. And every day he would eat a portion of that dirt and weep tears of ecstasy. And he would proclaim in a faltering voice that this dirt of Kumarahata, it is my wealth. It is my heart and soul. It is my greatest property. It is the object of my worship because this is the place where my Gurudev manifest in this world. In Bangladesh, the district of Jessore is the village of Budan. There, Lord Brahma descended into the world as Srila Haridas Thakur, the Namacharya. It is explained in Bhakti Ratnakar as well as the Navadvip Mahatmya, how after Lord Brahma tried to bewilder Krishna by stealing the cowherd boys and calves, ended up understanding that he was in a total bewildered state, that due to his false pride of being the creator and the father of all living beings, he did not properly honor and respect the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He prayed for the benediction to be in the humblest circumstances where nobody would honor him, so he could chant the names constantly. So he was given the benediction to take birth in a family of Mlechas and Yavanas. And in that state of Trinadapi Sunichena Toror Ibasihishuna Amanina Manadena Kirataniya Sadahari, he would be empowered to chant the holy names of the Lord at least 300,000 times and would be the Namacharya. Thakur Haridas lived in Budan his childhood. It's a mystery how he became such a pure great Vaishnava. But later on, he lived in Benapol in the forest. And it was there that he became so popular that Ramchandra Khan, who was a very powerful, wealthy landowner, sent a prostitute to make him fall down. But in the end, that prostitute became initiated by him, shaved her head, gave away all of her wealth, and lived in his kutir and chanted 3 lakhs of Krishna's name all day and worship Tulsi. And And Haridas Thakur went from there, Benapul, to Chandpur. There, Balaram Acharya and Yadunandan, the gurus of Raghunath Das Goswami's parents, they were so honored that he had come. They arranged a whole conference for him to speak about the glories of the holy names. And after Chandpur, he went to Shantipur to see Advaitacharya. And it was in Shantipur that Advaitacharya, he was ecstatic to see a devotee of the caliber of Haridas Thakur was the ultimate fulfillment of his life. This will find consistent in the associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There was no greater opulence, no greater joy to these devotees than meeting another Vaishnav. When they would meet one another, they didn't need anything else. You don't need fine foods. You don't need nice cars. You don't need beautiful residential areas. You don't need opulent clothes. Whether you have them or don't have them, they're not going to make you happy. You don't need PhDs and scholarships. You don't need prestigious position in society. Whether you have it or not, it's not going to make you happy. Whether you have it or not, if you're really a devotee, what's going to give you joy is to meet another Vaishnav. To have the chance to serve another Vaishnav. And together to chant the holy name. Advaitacharya is the king of the Brahmin community, and his greatest bliss in life is to associate with and render menial services to a person who's born in a Malecha and Yavana background, who's ostracized and condemned by most of the Brahmin class. When he was performing the Shraddha ceremony, which is taken very seriously in Bengal in those days, the best Brahmins were coming to participate. And he gave the first honors to Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur said, "You can't do this to me. I'm a Malecha. I'm a Yavana. I'm the most fallen. I'm lower than a dog. Anyone who sees me or touches me or even thinks of me becomes polluted. You cannot do this. There are so many high-class Brahmins here. Give them the honors." And Advaitacharya spoke on the basis of scripture that by feeding you, I am feeding hundreds and thousands of Brahmins because you have developed a taste for the holy name. You are spreading the glories of the holy name. Haridas Thakur was given by Advaitacharya a beautiful little cave in the forest on the bank of the Ganges at Fuliagram. That's what he wanted. And they were continuous associates. In Ekachakra, Ananta Dev, Balaram, personally appeared. On the 13th day of the waxing moon, as Sri Nityananda Prabhu, the son of Hadai Pandit and Padmavati. There in Ekachakra, as a small child, the only play he performed with his friends was enacting the leelas of Krishna and his avatars. And they were absolutely absorbed in their roles. When they asked when the elder people of Ekachakra asked Nitai, "How do you know these leelas? You're only a small child." Nitai would innocently look at them and say, "These are my pastimes." But they could not understand that he was actually speaking the truth. When he was 12 years old, at that time, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was just to appear within this world. Nityananda, by his own arrangement, attracted a sannyasi to take him from Ekachakra, where he traveled throughout the length and breadth of the holy places, and ultimately waited in Vrindavan for Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement to begin. And at that time, he made his residence in Sri Navadvip Dham. In this way, we have mentioned just a few. The most celebrated, worshipable personalities of the spiritual world descended into this world and all gathered in Navadvip to welcome the advent of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his most magnanimous, most merciful form of divine love. Tomorrow, we will celebrate this holy day, the holiest of all holy days, Gaur Purnima. We will celebrate by Harikatha, Harikirtan, and fasting. In the association of devotees. Fasting in the association of sincere devotees is millions of times more enjoyable than feasting without devotees. How many of you have that realization? You're very advanced souls. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in this world when everyone in all directions were chanting the holy name. We will discuss this tomorrow. Thank you very much. I think we should end now because we don't want everyone to be tired tomorrow morning. So we won't have kirtan now, but we'll make up for it very nicely tomorrow. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.